Now, I don't know whether you're the type of person, the kind of family to decorate your house at Christmas time. Many of us do, don't we? Perhaps we put lights on the outside of our homes, or maybe we decorate the insides and put various ornaments up. And I guess the centrepiece of all of that decorating, for most of us, is the Christmas tree, isn't it? For most of us, it is the Christmas tree. Has everyone got a Christmas tree up at home? And maybe inside the house or outside the house, fantastic stuff. And the Christmas tree and the decorating of it, it has all kinds of decisions attached to it, doesn't it? All types of choices that need to be made about it. For instance, we have to decide, don't we, whether it's going to be a real tree or whether it's going to be a fake tree, or whether we're going to have store-bought ornaments on it, or perhaps ones that we've made at home. Is it going to be decorated in clear lights, or is it going to be decorated in multicoloured lights? Is it going to have tinsel on it, or is it going to be clear of all of that stuff? And what is going to go on top of it? We've got nothing on top of our tree, but some people put a star on top of it, some people put an angel on top of it, other people something completely different. Has anyone got a star on top of their Christmas tree? Put up your hands if you've got a star, okay? What about an angel? Has anyone got an angel? Okay, there's a few more stars than angels. Has anyone got something completely different on top of their Christmas tree? Like nothing. Okay, one or two. What have you got?
Christmas rats.
Christmas rats on top of your Christmas tree. It's gone up the top. Yeah, all types of different things that we find on our Christmas tree. I can remember when I was a youngster pulling out all of the decorations at Christmas, and there'd be a whole mixture of stuff there in the box that we collected over the years that would go onto the tree. Things that perhaps we'd made in school, or things that have been in the family for years. And as we'd pull them out and as we place them on the tree, we kind of reminisce about those times gone by. You see, traditions like Christmas tree decorating, they sometimes have a way of doing that, don't they? Of causing us to take a trip down memory lane. And it's not only Christmas trees that do that, it's also family trees as well. When you stop and think about your family tree, when you realise where you came from and what your family were like, it brings up lots of different memories, doesn't it? If you've ever watched programs like Who Do You Think You Are? They're on the BBC, or maybe you visited websites like Ancestry.com, then you'll know that people try and find out bits and pieces about their past, don't they? About who they might be related to. But it doesn't take a TV program or a website to work out that some of those people who are found in your family tree might not be all that perfect, might not be all they're cracked up to be. And this is where family trees and Christmas trees actually have quite a lot in common. You see, a Christmas tree, like our family tree, it can look pretty good from a distance, but when you get up close and personal, when you begin to look at things in a bit more detail, you can begin to see perhaps some of the knots that are there, perhaps some of the twisted branches, perhaps some of those bare patches, parts of our family trees that have kind of been erased and forgotten about. Patches that if it was on our Christmas tree, we kind of turned towards the wall so that nobody could see it. All of us, if we're honest, have those embarrassing parts, don't we, in our family trees. All of us have those knots and those twisted branches, parts that we'd rather other people didn't really know about. And Christmas time, especially, can be a real reminder of that as we spend time perhaps with relatives that we haven't seen for a while, both the weird and the wonderful. Okay, try not to look at those around you this morning because there's a lot of relatives in the room and perhaps at home on the sofa as well. But you know, before we get hung up about all of that, before we get hung up about our own family trees, I want us to take a look at another family tree this morning, and it's one that we read about in the Bible. We read about it in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. It couldn't be easier to find if you want to have a look in the church Bibles that are found under the seat in front of you. It's on page 965, and it's the very first page there in the New Testament. Because there, in Matthew chapter 1, page 965, we have recorded for us the genealogy of Jesus. Here we have Jesus' very own family tree, okay? But before we take a look at that, to help us, there are some name tags that have been hidden around this room, okay? Stuck to the back of chairs and different things like that. So I wonder, if you're a child this morning and you want to help me, would you go around and find those name tags and bring them up the front for me? We're going to make our very own family tree, okay? Do you want us to hang them up on the tree? They should have a little loop on them. Okay, that we've got, Matan here, okay? So we're going to put him up there. What's that one? David? Stick that one on the tree. I've got Abraham here, so he's going to go up here. Do you want to start popping them up on the tree? That's it. Hang them on yourself. We've got David here. Should we put him? Where does he come? Probably about halfway. Oh, you hang him up. Yeah, you can reach up a bit higher, Matt, can't you? Josiah. He's about midway, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm just going to go next to
him. Yeah, okay, fantastic. We've got David there. What have we got here? God, there's loads of them, isn't there? Jehoram. While you're waiting, have a count up and see if anyone can tell me how many names are on Jesus' family tree there in Matthew chapter 1. Solomon there. Okay, he needs to go somewhere near David, doesn't he? Okay, and Amon and Manasseh. Ooh, Manasseh. He was a bit of a character, wasn't he? And then Hezekiah. Thank you very much. And there's Joseph. Has anyone found out how many names are on the tree in Matthew? Quite a lot. 14 times 3, I think it says. So you might be better at maths. What have we got there? We've got Jesse. He goes somewhere near David as well, doesn't he? Because he was closely related. Fantastic stuff. And just a few more. Who else have we got? Tamar. There you go. It's a woman in Jesus' family tree. And last but not least, Hezron. Okay, fantastic. Oh, no, certainly not last. There's one more. Akim. Right, good stuff. Thank you very much. Thank you, Charlie, for helping with that. Wow, so many different names. So there we have it. Jesus' family tree. We might need to rearrange things a little bit along the way. Not just up here on the stage, but also down there in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 1 and up on the screen as well. Oh, that's really, really tiny writing, isn't it? But there it is, Jesus' family tree with Abraham right at the top. It all starts with Abraham, doesn't it? There were some pretty big names in this list, like Abraham, who was the founder of the Jewish nation. And then if you scan down in your Bibles or there on the screen, you'll see David, who is, of course, Israel's favourite and greatest king, as well as many other kings that are dotted throughout the family line. There were some real heroes in Jesus' family, in his family tree. But alongside those heroes, there were also a lot of names you probably wish weren't there as well. Not heroes, but those you might refer to as zeros. Not heroes, but villains, okay? Men like Jacob, who cheated on his brother Esau, cheated him out of his birthright. And Judah, who was the one who came up with that plan to have Joseph put into slavery, as well as women like Tamar, who we've seen put up there, and Rahab, and Uriah's wife. She's not even mentioned, but that was Bathsheba. And all of those had questionable pasts. And of course, there was Ruth, wasn't there, who we've been thinking about over this Christmas season. Now, she didn't have a particularly scandalous lifestyle like some of these other people, but she did have a family that was scandalous. She came from the tribe of Moab, the Moabite tribe. And they were wicked people. And Ruth, being a Moabite, she had that reputation hanging over her as well. She was kind of from the wrong side of town, you might say. In fact, when you have a look through this list of different people, When you start to do a few background checks, and you might like to do that at home later on and have a look at a few of these names in the Bible, you begin to see that virtually all of those who are found in Jesus' family tree here in Matthew chapter 1, without exception, had a bit of a tarnished reputation in one way or another. It was really a tree that was full of liars and cheats, people who had all sorts of skeletons hidden in the closet. Those who you wouldn't particularly want to be chatting about over your Christmas dinner, because it might well put you off your Brussels sprouts and something like that. Now, of course, God, he could have arranged it, couldn't he? That all of those people in Jesus's line were pretty good. That they're all pretty respectable people. That they're all upstanding members of society. God could have arranged it that way. God could have arranged it so that when he was done telling us about the family line that led to Christ, we'd all say, well, of course, this is our Saviour. Just look at those people in his family tree. What a wonderful bunch of ancestors Jesus has. Jesus must be God's son. And yet he didn't do that, did he? Instead, he chose to include all of these other different people with their faults and their foibles. So why did he do that? Well, we're going to find out in a moment. But first of all, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing a Christmas carol, the First Noel. So let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
stuff. Please be seated. Well, as we were saying a moment ago, Jesus' family tree was a pretty big mixed bag, wasn't it? When you had a look into it, when you got up close and personal. There were some real heroes in there, as we said, but there were also some real zeros as well. There were a few villains, just as there are perhaps in our own family trees. So why did Jesus include so many knots, so many twisted branches, so many bare patches in Christ's history? Well, simply because of this, simply because the kind of people Jesus came from shows us the kind of people Jesus came for. That's worth repeating, isn't it? The kind of people Jesus came from shows us the kind of people Jesus came for. The good news that we celebrate at Christmas is that God came into this messed up world, that he was born into a messed up family so that he could save people from all that mess, from all of that sin. Just listen to what Matthew says, just a few verses later after he jotted down this family tree of Jesus's. Matthew goes and writes this there in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.' Why? Because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus, at Christmas time, became one of us and yet lived without sin so that he could become our perfect Savior. Just think about that for a moment. Jesus, who came from a long list of outsiders and outcasts, a list of scoundrels and sinners. Before he entered this world, he then entered into the messiness of the human family. He entered into that family tree. And then in order to save it, in order to save that family, he went and died on a tree, didn't he? What a wonderful and amazing thing Jesus has done for us. Well, as we consider that, there is one final thing that we all need to do in response to that. And the one thing that we all need to do in response to that is this. We need to, each one of us, ask Jesus to save us from our sin. We've spoken this morning, haven't we, about a whole load of different characters and mentioned some of their failings along the way. And as I said, you can go into the Bible and dig a bit deeper and find out a little bit more about those characters. And maybe as we've done that, you've kind of perhaps in your mind recollected some of your own choices in life. Or perhaps you've seen yourself in these characters in some different ways. Well, if you have, and if you do, then let me encourage you this morning. Because if God can save people like Ruth and Rahab and Jacob and Judah, and all of those other peoples in his story, then what sin is there that God can't forgive you and I from? You see, this genealogy, this family tree of Jesus, it shows us, doesn't it, that Jesus is not afraid and ashamed of sinners. The fact is that he came amongst us. He became one of us. And yet live without sin in order to save us. But you know, in order for us to be saved, we first need to see ourselves as that knot in our family tree. You know, when I'm cutting wood as a carpenter, I always try and avoid those knots that you find in a piece of wood, because as we've said, they're not very good, aren't they? They're not very helpful. They make the wood weak and all sorts of things like that that are very unhelpful. Well, you know, instead of seeing that crazy aunt or perhaps that crazy uncle or maybe that annoying brother or that annoying sister as the knot in our family tree, instead of pointing out their faults, instead of blaming others, in order to be saved ourselves, we need to see ourselves as the knot in our family tree. Just like the Apostle Paul did. He called himself the worst of sinners. And you know, when we see ourselves like that, when we see ourselves like Paul did, and when we call on the name of the Lord, then he promises that we will be saved. How wonderful is that? That we have a Saviour who came at Christmastide, who came into a family tree and then went and died on a tree on our behalf so that we could be saved, so that we could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father again. Let's pray together, shall we?